This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My respected brothers, my sisters in Islam, alhamdulillah. Welcome to our series on the tafsir of some of the most beautiful surahs in the Quran. We have with us, alhamdulillah, Surah Taha. Surah Taha is, what can I tell you about the surah? Surah was revealed, first of all, before the fifth year of the prophethood of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, I want to tell you a little bit that might help you at least to understand the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. We divide up the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ in Makkah into four stages. The first stage was approximately 2 years, where the Prophet ﷺ did very silent da'wah, right? Where he simply told his closest friends, who told their closest friends, and as a result, a small group of believers came up. Then came between the third year till the fifth year, which is about 3 years, right, since the prophethood of Rasulullah ﷺ. And those 3 years were marked by the fact that now the Quraysh knew about them. And as a result, they were very worried that they would be losing their trade and the Hujjaj would be coming. And there was a mushrikeen, by the way, they used to do Hajj at that time. And they used to do their own innovative practices, and that they would then fall into this new religion. So they concocted lies. As a madman in the village, don't listen to him, be very careful. So everyone would be careful of him, so that none of the Arabs that came to Makkah would ever listen to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except for those who Allah wanted to guide them. So that was marked by intense rebuke, lies, calling the Prophet some all sorts of names and tales. So a verbal warfare started, and that's how usually it starts. Then in the fifth year of Hijrah, at that point, they changed this strategy because they realized it wasn't working and some of the people were converting. Even Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu converted just before the fifth year. And so in that year, in the fifth year, started the new phase from the fifth till the tenth year. And why the tenth year? Because in the tenth year, Abu Talib and Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the two helpers of the Prophet ﷺ, they passed away. So Those 5 years was marked by torture and terrorism, really, where they killed Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, where they hurt the family of Yasir alayhi salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where they tried to kill Bilal. You know, so they were tortured people. They physically harmed them. That was for 5 years. Then, of course, between the last 3 years, right after the death of Abu Talib and death of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, started the last 3 years, and those last 3 years was marked by not just the persecution but boycotting, total boycott, and therefore no food was allowed to them, no drink was allowed to them. The people were kicked out of their homes, and they were actually put into a valley outside of Makkah where it was very barren, and the people had to eat grass in order to keep alive. Subhanallah. Allah save us. Allah save our people, what they went through. And may Allah give them a massive reward in Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. And may Allah keep them happy. And may Allah keep them away from all difficulty. And us with them, Ya Rabbul Alameen, for our love for them, Ya Rabbul Alameen. This is what they went through. So this surah was revealed before the third stage started. Yeah, before the 5th till the 10th, before that stage started. It was revealed around the same time Surah Maryam was revealed. And what we know also is that this was revealed definitely before the Islam of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. For in the narration of the Islam of Umar, or the acceptance of Umar of Islam, we know of an incident that the sister of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, she accepted Islam. And her husband also accepted Islam. So once Umar came to visit them, and before he entered the hut, he heard some recitations. So he got angry and he thought, oh my God, something's going on. Did they convert to Islam? Did they? Because remember, they were trying to hide themselves, right? This was a time to, the Prophet ﷺ told them to hide whoever their deen was. So they were trying to hide. So as soon as they saw Umar coming in, they quickly rolled up the parchment on which the Surah Taha was written, and then they hid it. And so Umar got very angry and he started hitting them. So he beat up his brother-in-law. That's Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was a very strong man. And he was a very hard-headed man. So he beat up his brother-in-law. Then he hit his sister very hard on the face and on the head until it created a laceration on the top of her scalp, and then blood started pouring down. So Umar felt really sad because, you know, though he was an angry man and though he was a tough, hard man, he also had some softness and gentleness in him. So, you know, he saw blood coming down, so he felt sad. And he said, "What were you reading? Show me what you're reading." And she said, "No, I'm not going to show it to you until you wash yourself and you clean yourself." So Umar went back and he had a shower and he came back. And then he said, show me what you're reading. So then this beautiful surah was put out. Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an litashqa. We didn't reveal this Qur'an for you to have difficulty. We didn't reveal this Qur'an so that you could have difficulty, Ya Umar, or Ya difficulty, Ya Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was revealed in order so it may be a tadhkiratan lima yakhsha, so that it's a reminder for those who fear me. So Umar's heart broke and Iman entered into his heart and he said those amazing words. How beautiful are these words? And so the brother-in-law of Umar said, "Wallahi Umar, this is Iman. I heard the Prophet ﷺ yesterday raising up his hands to the sky and making dua to Allah, O Allah, help Islam by Ihda al-Umarain. Oh Allah, help Islam by either of the two Umars." Which two Umars? One was Abu Jahl or one was Umar ibn Khattab. And so Allah had chosen the one that he loved, and that is Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And so the Qadr of Allah took over, and so Umar accepted Islam. He went straight away and he professed Islam to the Prophet ﷺ. It was this surah that made him. Also, I remember this surah was also when Brother Cat Stevens, yeah, Yusuf Islam, I remember him mentioning one of the talks that this was also the surah that made him into Muslim, because he read those verses, "Ma anzalna alayka Qur'ana litashqa," and it really touched his heart, saying this Qur'an was not revealed so it could terrorize you, torment you, cause hardship to you. It was revealed so that it may soften your heart and make you understand that this is nothing but a revelation from Allah, the Lord Most High. Ya Salam. And so my suggestion would be, my brothers and sisters in Islam, if you know of someone who is very haughty and proud against the Qur'an and Sunnah, and someone who is a little bit thick-headed and a little bit arrogant, then give him Surah Taha. Read Surah Taha to him and explain the meaning of it. Perhaps that Iman will also enter into their hearts, and perhaps, you never know, that person, Allah might help Islam through that person. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. طيب, Surah Taha, Alhamdulillah, is a surah, when I read it, it tells me of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a man. Love of Allah for a man. Who? For love of Allah for Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Because every word that I read talks about Allah helping Musa, Allah supporting Musa, Allah choosing Musa, Allah speaking to Musa, Allah speaking to him in a gentle manner, Allah encouraging him, Allah giving him spiritual motivation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whispering things into his heart in order to keep him firm. Ya salam. When I read it, I am filled with this belief that Allah loves Musa alayhi salam so much. And he's revealing this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that just like I love this man Musa, I love you too. And just like I gave him success, I will give you success. And just like Musa didn't have an army, you're not going to need an army, I'll give you success without an army. And just like Musa depended on me, then you depend on me too. Because I'm your friend and I'm going to be enough for you. So this is what Allah tells us through Surah Taha. And when we read it, we should also know that Rabbana is also speaking to us in those words as well. That when we are in difficulty, Allah is going to be our side. And that's why Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said in that amazing statement. He said, when you find people leaving you, and people not supporting you, and no one believing you, and everyone hating you, then know this, that Allah is telling you that Allah is going to be enough for you. Allah is going to be enough for you. Subhana khaliqul azim. Yani anyone who has Allah in his heart does not need anyone else. And that's why I remember meeting a brother of mine, a great man by the name of Jamal. I saw him in the Calais camp. I've got to tell you about something that he said which really touched my heart. And he was there to help the refugees in Calais in France that are now stuck there at this point in time. And he said something which really touched my heart. He said, I said, Jamal, why are you here? I said, these refugees, they benefit me. I said, how do they benefit you? So when they eat, I get to eat. When I wash the dishes, my hands are clean. You know, it reminds me of the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when Imam rahimahullah, when the Imam, when he was asked, you know, your enemies have gathered for you, for fear them. So what did he say? He said, what will my enemies do to me? What can they do to me? What can they do to me? I am my Jannah in me, meaning my Jannah is in my heart. If they kill me, it's martyrdom. If they banish me, it's a vacation. If they imprison me, it's a solitude with Allah. What can they do to me? You know, and this is the nafsul mutma'inna. When you read this surah, have your nafsul mutma'inna. Be very content with Allah. Be content with your situation. Be content that you deserve the situation, or Allah Azza wa Jal is using a situation to make you a better human being. Be very content. Be very thankful to Allah. And this thankfulness and rida with Allah, radaytu billahi rabban wa bil islami deenan, wa bi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyya rasoola. This rida with Allah is what is going to enter you into happiness. That's why the Prophet said that on the day of judgment, Allah will say to the believers in Jannah, are you happy, O people of Jannah? I said, how can we not be happy, Ya Allah? We are so happy and so content, Ya Allah. So contentment and happiness is from the attributes of people of Jannah. It is the attribute of people of Jahannam to be angry and disappointed and to not be content and to be haughty and to be always seeking something else. But a believer is content with whatever Allah has given him, and content with his condition, and content with Allah, and happy with Allah as his Lord, right? So let's take this beautiful surah, inshaAllah. Taha. Taha. What does Taha mean? Taha, some scholars said, some of the Salaf said, Taha means the Qur'an, because right after this, Allah will talk about the Qur'an. And that is the opinion that has been supported by Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, when he talks about these huruf that start, Alif, Lam, Mim, Taha, Qaf, etc. Other scholars said Taha means O people. Others said Taha means O mankind. Others said Taha can also be the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, one of the names of Allah. Yet others said Taha over here is a rebuke to the disbelievers who said the Quran is here for in order to create harm. Or others said no, Taha is a means of waking up the Prophet ﷺ and said, don't be so difficult on yourself, because the Prophet ﷺ was praying the whole night at that point, you know, because the persecution and the words had become so bad that he was doing da'wah in the morning and he was standing up the night in salawat. So Allah said, Taha. Allah knows the real meaning of it, This is one of the mutashabih of the Quran. It's unclear the meaning. And so we just say, آمنا به, we believe in it. كل من عند ربنا, it is from our Lord. وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب, and no one understands this except for the people of intelligence. So طه, ما أنزلنا, we did not reveal. أنزلنا إليك عليك القرآن, we did not reveal upon you the Quran لتشقى. So أنزلنا is a word that comes from down to up, from up to down. So therefore we know the Quran is with Allah Azza wa Jalla, these words, and so it is with Allah, and Allah is above the seven heavens. So ما أنزلنا عليك, we did not reveal upon you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran لتشقى, so that you may have difficulty in your heart. So the Quran was not revealed in order to create harm or in order to create hardship or to create sorrow and misery. It was created in order, it was revealed in order to be a reminder. Yeah, and sometimes a reminder for those people who don't know how to take it, unfortunately they take it in the wrong sense. So, you know, sometimes the truth, people take it in the wrong sense. People take the truth sometimes as a rebuke, as a personal attack. People sometimes take the truth as a hardship. People sometimes take the truth as a means of hurting and harming. But that is not what we should believe. Tashqa, the Quran was not revealed so that we may feel hard in our hearts. Quran was revealed so that we may feel gentle and pleasant. And the Quran was revealed so that we feel strong and happy. And not that we may feel hurt and burdened. These are not the purpose of the revelation of the Quran. Why did Allah reveal the Quran? Illa tadhkiratan, we revealed it except, did not reveal it for anything except litadhkiratan, to remind, liman yakhsha, as a reminder for those who may fear me, Ya Salam. So if you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this Quran is a reminder for you, so that you may grow in your fear of Allah, so that you may be established in your fear of Allah. And this Quran may then be the means by which you draw your inspiration for fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tanzeelan, a tanzeel. Again, anzalna and then tanzeel. Why is it called tanzeel again? Just as a further re-emphasis that this Quran did come down from Allah Azza wa Jal. That's number one, not fabricated, invented by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And number two, so that people know that it actually did come down from the Lawh al-Mahfuz, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore it is pure, it is unadulterated, it is authentic. There is absolutely no inhiraf, no change in it. And it is exactly as Rabbana intended. Tanzeela mimma, from who? From mimman, from the one who خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ, the one who created the earth. وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَىٰ, and the heavens in its highness, meaning the high heavens. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this Quran is from the same being that created everything, which is the earth and the heavens and therefore everything in it. It is He who created and therefore it is He who guided. And that's why, what does Fir'aun say? وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, what does he say? وَمَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَلَىٰ, what does he say? رَبَّنَا الَّذِي خَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ ثُمَّ اهْتَدَىٰ, our Lord is the one who created everything, then He guides. Yani, He creates, then He guides. So that's the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the one who is the creator, He therefore sustains, and then He is the one who guides, so that we know what we are meant to do. I mean, Rabbana subhanallah is not just the one who creates and then does not guide. As the philosophers say, the Rabbana might have created something, there might be an early prime mover, the one who touched the first domino, but then that's it. He does not enter into creation, doesn't interfere. And that would be ridiculous. That would be ridiculous, because that would then defeat the whole purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having this as a test. Why there would be so much difficulty, hardship in this world, why Allah would allow tyrants to take advantage of others. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal in His justice would never allow that. طيب. إِلَّا تَذْكِرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى تَنْزِيلًا مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَىٰ الرحمن على العرش استوى. Now Allah tells us about an incident that happened many, many years ago before He created the heavens and the earth, before He created the heavens and the earth, when He created the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. So He says Ar-Rahman, Allah the Most High, and He is calling Himself Ar-Rahman, the one who is generally merciful, the one who decrees everything with mercy. على العرش, upon His throne, استوى, meaning He established Himself. What does this verse mean? This verse has been revealed in the Quran or recited in the Quran 7 different places. And twice Allah says, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. So therefore 9 times the word istiwa has been used. There are two things I want to explain here. Number one is arsh. What is the arsh? Arsh is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the largest thing that has been created. It is bigger than the heavens and the universe. And it is the heaviest thing that Allah has ever created. And we know that because in the dua, our Prophet ﷺ taught us, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, rida nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, and by the weight of his throne. Right? Subhanallah, by the number of his words, by the number of his creation, by the number of the weight of his throne. To tell you that this is the most heaviest thing that has ever been created, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The arsh is also something that emanates light. And the arsh and the light of the arsh is what will emanate light into Jannah. So the Jannah, when Jannah has light, the light will be from the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Around the arsh are the angels, and they make dua to Allah. The arsh itself rests on the neck of 4 angels, and of 8 angels, my apologies. يعني ثمانية لا يحمل عرش ربك يوم إذن ثمانية. 8 angels carry the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each angel, the Prophet told us, it's the distance between one ear to the other ear of the angels, so that meaning the chest, the shoulder, and the breadth of the neck of the angel and the shoulder of the angel in order to carry the arsh of Allah azza wa jal is like the distance of 500 years travel. And when the angels were told to carry the arsh, they said, how are we going to do it? He said, Ista'in billah, yani seek the help of Allah and carry the arsh. And so they said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then they took the arsh and Allah gave them the ability to bear the arsh of Rahman. Thamani, 8 angels carrying the arsh of Rahman, 2 on each side, 2 on each of the corners of the arsh, mashallah. Tayyib, ar-Rahmanu ala al-arsh istawa, he established himself on the throne. So, it was reported that one of the mu'attila meaning those people who deny the attributes of Allah, one of them, Jahm bin Safwan, and said, I don't believe that Allah istawa ala al-arsh. I don't believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established himself on the throne, meaning he disbelieved in this verse. So many of the scholars, like Fudayl ibn Ayyad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, refuted him and said, as for me, I believe in a God who does what he wills. I believe in a God who does what he wills. If Allah wanted to create an arsh, that's up to him. If he didn't want to create an arsh, that's also up to him. If he wanted to establish himself on an arsh befitting his majesty, that's also up to him. But don't in our eyes and in our minds, don't ever think that Allah is like creation. Laysa kamithlihi shay, he's nothing like anything else that we know. He's not like human beings. He's not like anything we know. وَهَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّةً. Do you know anyone like him? No, not at all. He is unlike anyone else. He is, in a way, befitting his own majesty. And so if he establishes himself on the throne, it's in a manner befitting his own majesty. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. And for him is whatever is in the heavens. وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And whatever is on earth. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. And what is in between them, which is the hawa, which is space. وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى. And that which is under the thara. The word thara here means dirt, according to some narrations. Others said, no, it means what is under the creation, all of creation. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَمْ. Others said, no, what is meant by this is what is under the throne. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَمْ, the meaning of the word thara. However, the word thara, according to many, many scholars, means the dirt, or what is under, underneath that which is covered. Meaning, that which is covered up, that you don't know, that is also belonging to Allah. وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ. And if you were to speak a word, تَجْهَرْ, to speak it loudly, بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. Then know that he knows that which is secret, وَأَخْفَى, and that is more secret than that. So sir, he knows that which is secret, and that which is more secret than that. What does it mean? السِّرَّ وَالْأَخْفَى. What do you mean by sir wa'akhfa? So jahar, meaning that which you say loudly, like I'm speaking loudly, that Allah knows, of course. And not only Allah knows that, but also you know that too. But Allah knows it because Allah knows all of the words that everyone or every creation is saying at every moment, the moment they're saying or before they even say it. وَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ. Then he knows the sir. Some scholars said sir over here means what you say to yourself. You know, you're speaking to yourself, like when you're reciting the Fatiha in your salah, you're saying it so lightly that only you can hear it, for example, okay? This is the sir wa akhfa, and therefore, if sir means that which you say to yourself, no one else hears, akhfa, that which is more secret than that, refers to the words that you say in your heart. that even you don't even say or verbalize with your mouth. That is the stuff that you say in your heart. Yeah, this is the akhfa, and this is the meaning of sirra wa akhfa. Allahu la ilaha illa hu. Allah, there is no deity worthy of worship but Him. La ilaha illa hu is negation than affirmation, and that is the perfectness of ikhlas, is to negate from everything and affirm it only to Allah. Negate our ibadah from everything and establish it only for Allah. I don't love anyone but You. So negation then affirmation. This is the perfectness of ikhlas. So Allahu la ilaha, there is no deity illa hu except Him. Lahul asma'ul husna, for Him are the most beautiful names. The most beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belong to Him. And this is why Umar was so amazed with this. Because look at the majesty of these words. Look at the perfectness of these words. And look at how Allah Azza wa Jal reveals why and tells us why this Quran was revealed to us. Not for any other purpose, not to hurt us, harm us, but for that reason. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. And has the story of Musa come to you? Let me tell you the story of Musa, Allah tells us. Because in it is a revelation of how much Allah loved Musa and how He helped him. In the same way, Muhammad SAW, I'm only telling you this so that you draw a lesson from this. And the lesson is, number one, have sabr like Musa did. Number two, know that I'm going to help you like Musa, I helped Musa. Number three, I love you like I love Musa or more. Number four, Musa defeated Fir'aun without an army, I'm going to help you without an army. I'm going to be enough. Number five, I've always been there helping Musa, and I will always be there helping you. SubhanAllah. طيب. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. And has a story of Musa a.s. come to you? إِذْ رَأَى نَارًا. So what is Allah going to tell us about? Now, let me tell you the background of this. So what happened was Musa a.s. grew up in Egypt, as you know. And we're going to come to the story of how he grew up very soon. Grew up in Egypt under the care of his mother, under the auspices of Fir'aun. Then he killed somebody. He killed one of the guards of Fir'aun. So he got afraid of Fir'aun, he ran away. He ran away to Madian. Madian was past the Sinai Peninsula, all the way into Syria, all the way into Palestine and Lebanon and Syria. In those areas in Palestine was Madian. So Madian, he found two ladies that were tending to their sheep. The ladies took them to their father, Shu'aib. Shu'aib was one of the prophets of God. And Shu'aib married one of his daughters to Musa alayhi wasallam. And in return, in exchange for 8 years of service to the father, and Musa alayhi wasallam completed it, and he made ihsan. He said, "You ask for 8, I will complete it to 10. I will give you 10 years of service." After the 10 years of service, and that shows that when if you are the wali of your daughter. You are allowed for the daughter to ask for a mahar and the father to ask for service. It's permissible. So father can ask for a gift and the daughter can ask for a gift. Both are permissible. I have 5 daughters, mashallah. So I was telling my wife the other day, that's my retirement plan. That when I get my daughters married, I'm saying, okay, you buy me a car, you buy me a house, you buy me a plane. You know, so this is my, you know, the schemes of the father-in-law. Watch out, oh son-in-laws. Ooh. So Allah al-musta'an, yani. So Shu'aib radiallahu anhu asked for 8, Musa alayhi salam completed to 10. Then what happened was Musa alayhi salam wanted to go see his mother and his sister back in Egypt. So he asked for permission from Shu'aib, and Shu'aib alayhi salam said yes. So he took his family. Now Musa alayhi salam liked to keep his wife very hidden, and he was very protective over his wife, mashallah. And that just shows that Musa had lots of izzah and honor. And as he was taking them, Musa was still afraid of what he had done, remember. And he thought perhaps Fir'aun, you know, in his arrogance, was still putting a bounty on his head. So he sought every way in order to stay away from Fir'aun and his guards. So finally came to this place called Tur, which was, Wallahu ta'ala alam, some scholars mentioned that this is in Sinai, in the peninsula of Sinai, Wallahu ta'ala alam. Some said it's in Egypt, some said it might actually be closer to Madian. But he came to this mountain, which is called Mountain of Tur, which is a blessed place. where it was very cold at night, extremely cold. And because it was so cold at night, Musa alayhi salam wanted a fire, right? And so this is what Allah tells us, that Musa alayhi salam tells his family, he saw a fire, he saw a little bit of a light. So he said, you know, hang on guys, stay here. Let me see if I can find a fire so that we can get some warmth, or perhaps I can get some guidance on where I might find something that might give us a bit of heat. That's the story, that's the incident, that's the point at which Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us this story. طيب هل أتاك حديث موسى? Has the story of Musa come to you? إذ رأى نارا, when he saw a fire, فقال لأهله, so he said to his family, أمكثوا, stay here, إني آنست نارا, I think I can see a fire, لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس, perhaps that I may come with it from a قبس. قبس is like a you know, a bit like a branch of a tree that has caught on fire, like coal. It's a bit like those fire sticks that we hold, where at the end of it we might have a bit of a fire, and we wrap around it a piece of cloth with some kerosene. We might have a fire at the end. So qabasin, and qabas, according to some scholars, might also mean wood that has caught fire, like a bit like charcoal. لَعَلِّي أَتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِقَبَسٍ, the whole point being something that will give us warmth and light and heat. أَوْ أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدَى, or upon that light I might find some sort of guidance by which we may benefit. فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا, so when he came to it, نُودِيَ يَا مُوسَى, it was called out, oh Musa. So he was like, wow, who knows my name? Who's speaking out? What's going on? إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكُ, verily I am your Lord. Verily I am your Lord. فَخْلَعْ نَعْلَيْكُ, so the first thing Allah said, purify yourself, right? First thing, yeah, guys, believers always pure. Cleanliness is half of Iman. You've got to be pure. Your clothes have to be pure. Your food has to be pure. Your body has to be pure. Your mind has to be pure. Your heart has to be pure. Everything has to be pure. That's why zakat, purify your wealth. That's why wudu, purify yourself. That's why don't eat after you slept with your wife, except you've made wudu at least. Be in a state of purity. Don't go to sleep except with wudu. Be in a state of purity. A believer always loves to be pure. He doesn't love to be junub. He doesn't love to be filthy. He doesn't go to filthy places. He doesn't eat from filthy food. He is always pure, right? First thing he tells him, أَنَا رَبُّكَ فَحْلَى نَعْلَيْكَ, so remove your na'al, your shoes, for indeed it has some dirt on it, some filth on it. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى, مُقَدَّسِ طُوَى, so verily you are in the valley of which is blessed and sacred, called Tuwa, the valley of Tuwa, which is near the valley of the mountain of Tur. Mountain of Tur, which is a blessed mountain which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. طيب. So purity. Guys, purity. That's why يقول النبي, it was asked to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, which one is better? Should I make Tawbah or should I do Tasbih? So the Shaykh said, when the shirt is impure, then perfume does not benefit it. Yeah. So the tasbih is perfume. When the shirt is impure, meaning the insides of your body are impure, when your heart is impure, then istighfar. Yeah, purify it. Then add on perfume, which is the tasbih. So it's very, very critical. That's why even when we go to Allah Azza wa Jal, even though we have to be buried, and burying is quick, even then, first thing Allah tells us to do is to wash the dead body. Wash the dead body, get the filth out. So always Rabbana is pure. La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. No one touches it except the pure. And that's why majority of the ulama of Islam are of the opinion that the Quran should be touched only in purity after wudu. So subhanAllah, it is, my brothers and sisters of Islam, this issue of being clean is something we must emphasize. طيب, إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى, verily you are upon the valley of Tur, which is Muqaddas. Guys, we're going to stop here, inshallah, so because I'm going to try and keep the tafsir short without going for too long. I'm going to tell you that this tafsir of Taha will take us about 4 or 5 days, inshallah, to finish. After which, inshallah ta'ala, we'll go to probably tafsir of Juz Tabarak, inshallah ta'ala. Some of this tafsir that I did before, but inshallah it might be beneficial to do it again. Unless there are some suggestions from you, and perhaps you can suggest in on my Facebook page which surahs you'd like me to do tafsir of, inshallah. But this surah will take another 3 or 4 days, inshallah, to finish. And then inshallah ta'ala we will go to tafsir of other surahs inshallah. So we're going to keep it short and sweet, and inshallah until tomorrow, and we carry on the story of Musa alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.